We're back to rag time.
Of course.
This is The Efficiency Rag by James Scott. You would think The Efficiency Rag would be over faster than a regular rag.
Yeah, how long is this song?
This is 3 minutes and 14 seconds.
Well, most rag time songs are, you know, 14 minutes or so, right?
Yeah, they last a good 2.5 hours to play a whole album.
But do any human beings play ragtime anymore, or just player pianos?
I like the player piano. There's no soul behind it, but I heard someone who's knowledgeable about music saying that you can there's a limit to the emotion you can make with a piano. Mm-hmm. You can play it louder or softer, but compared to a violin, there's a whole lot of options you can have in playing a violin string that aren't there with a piano, because you're basically just banging something. Mm-hmm. And you can only change the intensity in which you bang it.
So player piano is good for that reason.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the conclusion on that.
Yeah, because you can't really connect it together. I knew someone who wanted to write a book about player pianos. And he had done a lot of research, he had written a couple of chapters, and whenever I saw him at a party, because he was like one of my friend's dads.
You avoided him, right?
No, it was the opposite. I became the guy who kept on asking him about his book to see how it was going, not knowing that when he told me he was working on a book, he really meant I was working and then I stopped.
Oh, so you're bothering him now. And meanwhile, you, the big famous author who has sold multiple books throughout the world, by the way. Jeff won't tell you, he's humble. How many countries was that Mario book?
It was in China and Japan and Korea and, for some reason, Portugal.
I was expecting a more impressive number.
I hit a good amount.
There's more countries in your book, listener.
He's now pointing at a cup of water.
I'm pointing at the listeners at home.
Pointing at the listener.
Who've never written a book and have sold no books in any country at all.
Well, thank you for having my back. But you didn't need to have my back, because I was probably the one in the wrong. I just wasn't aware of it.
He eventually asked you, like, look, will you fuck off, dude? Like, it's kind of like...
He moved to Germany, so I guess that was his way
of getting rid of you.
Yeah, I am putting a continent of water between you asking your questions about the player piano book and me. Living my life.
Did he leave his family?
No, his family went with him.
Oh, okay. I thought he was so bitter about this that he left his whole family behind. And
No, but he brought an 8-year-old with him, and I know they were speaking German at home, but it's a whole different thing between speaking German at home and all of a sudden... Everything's German! And I guess I switched to speaking English at home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I would...
Was he German himself?
No, his wife was German. Oh, okay. She worked for... it was weird. She worked for an automotive company, but it wasn't a German automotive company. Mm-hmm. It was like she worked for Honda or something.
Yeah.
But I guess Honda is in Germany, too. I forget what company she worked for.
In Germany, unfortunately, you cannot buy Jeff's book in Germany. It's not there.
It is verboten.
Yeah.
Welcome to 100 Years Ago Today, the 1917 podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Ryan, and joining me, as always, is Vinny Nardiello.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy. Our sponsor this week is Bayer. Bayer Pharmaceutical Products. Send for samples and literature to Faber-Fukhausen of Eberhold Company, 40 Stone Street, New York. They were a German company, so I wanted to do the correct German pronunciation, or at least the way Jerry Lewis would say it. So there's a whole fleet of Bayer products here, including aspirin. Right. Did you know that aspirin used to be a brand name for Bayer?
Really?
Yes. It was. It's now off patent. It's generic. You can get acetylsalicylic acid anywhere you want, and it's very cheap. But Bayer originated it.
Mm-hmm.
So Bayer was the original. Aspirin, the substitute for the salicylates.
Now I feel like next time I need to buy aspirin, I should buy Bayer. Because it's like they're the original ones.
Yes.
Everything else is the RC Cola.
Also, lysitol, the uric acid solvent, and heroin, the sedative for coughs.
Wait, what?
Aspirin, lysitol, and heroin.
Heroin for coughs.
Yep.
That's true. You know, I've seen a lot of heroin addicts over the years, like hanging in the park. Mm-hmm. None of them were coughing.
So... we tried to get a Clark Bar a couple of weeks ago, because Clark Bars were around in 1917.
Yeah, heroin.
So I'm doing the same thing. I have some aspirin, and I have some heroin. Do you want the aspirin or the heroin?
Hmm.
Now, I'm feeling, I had just a little bit of a headache. It may just be I'm a little dehydrated. So I think I'm going to have the aspirin.
I guess I'll have aspirin as well.
You have
but it? I'll snort it.
Yeah, I asked around. I couldn't find heroin.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin is actually a former brand name of Bayer. Mm-hmm. They were selling their version of opium morphine and called it heroin, and then they realized it was terribly addictive, and then they stopped selling it. But it's
there's got to be something around that we do now that it's gonna like people are gonna be shocked that it was like
yeah
so like you know in such a cavalier fashion.
Yeah, I think it's going to be something with caffeine.
I'm thinking energy drinks of some type. Yeah,
yeah. If you go to Quick Check right down the street for 99 cents, you can get a 40-ounce jug of an energy drink that I think you should only be drinking like in a 5-ounce can.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get 40 ounces of it for $1.
Yeah.
And it looks like, oh, well, this is a serving size. And I'm pretty sure that there's a good segment of the populace that would have a heart attack before they finished. I don't even want to know what it would do to me. I can't drink caffeine in the evenings anymore.
Really?
You'll be
up for days.
Yeah, I used to be able to, like, if we went to a wedding or something, I would have a cup of coffee with dessert, and then I just go to sleep.
You know how to party. We go wild. I had a cup of coffee with my creme brulee.
Well, that's the thing. Being wild right now is having a cup of coffee with dinner dessert.
And now you can't even do that now.
No, because I would be up too late. And I've tried having decaf instead, and decaf even keeps me up. Mm. There's something about the coffee itself. It's not necessarily the caffeine.
I'm just not, I don't drink decaf, because like, why would I? You know, I like coffee, and I love the taste of coffee.
Because your insides are perfect, unlike mine, which are rotting and dying.
No, here's the thing to say. I at work, I got my own coffee pot set up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is it like a little 4-cup thing?
No.
No?
Full
10 cups?
Yeah, and I drink about a half pot a day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You must be a regular human being. Or does it not affect you anymore?
I think I have to keep up again. I have to keep on chasing that dragon. And
when I went on a vacation, I wasn't quite sure how I was going to handle the coffee situation. And when we got there, it turned out the cabin we rented had a coffee maker. But I hadn't brought any coffee, and I didn't have any filters, because even the filters I have at home didn't fit this coffee maker.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't want to buy like 100 pack of filters just to use like, you know, 4 of them. So I decided...
Paper towel.
Paper towels work?
You use a paper towel.
Oh, I never...
Go back to Canada right now.
So I decided I'm going to have a week without coffee. Because in the back of my head, I'm always worried that because caffeine can be addictive in huge quantities.
You were on a vacation with 2 kids, and you thought this would be the time to give up coffee?
And I did, and it was fine.
Really?
I did not miss it at all. I mean, I missed the flavor of coffee. I like having, like, a hot, bitter drink.
But how about just the you know, the weakness? Like
the get up and go?
Yeah.
Nope, I was fine without it. So I felt perfectly good. However, I did realize there was another benefit of caffeine, because on the very last day, my brother gave me a little Nescafe packet. So the last day before I left, I decided, okay, we're packing up, we're leaving, I'm going to have a cup of coffee and sit out on the porch and read my book at 7 in the morning. And I get to see the sunrise, and then things started to happen. And Cindy asked me if I was okay, because I was spending a lot of time doing things that I hadn't been doing all week long.
And but you got to read your book in there, right?
Yes. And I told her I was more than okay, that this was the greatest day of my life.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I could. I wouldn't be able to function in the world. I wouldn't be able to work or hug my children.
I was talking with someone who... because I drink coffee at work, but not really at home. I have coffee at home, but not during... I'm a cheapskate at heart. So if I know that there's free coffee at work, I don't want to drink it at home if I'm going
to
go to work.
Because you feel like this coffee that I'm drinking at home, I had to pay for coffee.
Yes. Yeah, I had to pay for this. So I'm just going to hold on to it.
And you don't break it down by like, you know, each cup probably costs you about 20 cents.
And I'm saving only 20 cents a day?
Yeah.
I haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
No. But... is there free coffee at your work?
No.
There's not?
No, okay. That's why I have my pot set up. Okay. They used to have that, but they got rid of it.
Do they have one of those K-cup machines?
No, no, we have nothing. We have nothing. We have to pay. And the coffee they have at my work, swill.
Oh.
Oh, it's awful.
That's too bad.
Yeah, so I refuse to pay.
What's the worst cup of coffee you've ever had?
Probably there? Yeah, I get, there's, it's always bad, mm-hmm. but sometimes it's worse. And, yeah, where, like, you get the feeling that there's, they reuse these grounds a couple times.
Okay, yeah.
Is that pure laziness?
I did that one time very recently, because I just wanted to see what it was like. Like, what if people have been lying to us for all these years?
And you can use the grounds multiple
times?
Yes,
you can use the grounds 20 times in a row before they run out of coffee goodness. And the second time through with the grounds, it was weak, but it was still hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still decently bitter enough. But you could tell that this was the end. It was barely coffee.
Yeah, no, there's some bad stuff they have there. And, you know, I saw the guy who buys the coffee. He was using Truck Full Nuts. That's not a bad brand.
No.
No, so I don't know if he gets, like, you know, if it's old or it's, you know, they sell him, you know, knockoff Chock Full of Nuts.
Did you know why Chock Full of Nuts coffee is called Chock Full of Nuts, even though there are no nuts?
Why is that?
Chocked in it? Because it used to be a restaurant like Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And just how Dunkin' Donuts' name is for a special sort of donut, which they have discontinued. There used to be a donut that looked like a cube.
It was Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, with a handle.
The edge of it, yeah.
Yeah, they've discontinued that. Chock Full of Nuts thing was a nut log.
Mm-hmm.
You would get a nut log, and it was basically like a log of cream cheese that they had put walnuts in.
Mm-hmm.
And you put that on a sandwich and ate it. And you ate it with a cup of coffee. But
sounds good.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds pretty good. But they got rid of that. And
whenever you see the old stuff out of New York City, they always had the Chock Full of Nuts in Times Square.
And the camel guy smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Moving from New York to Pittsburgh, our big story this week is on the retirement of Honus Wagner, the Flying Dutchman himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the greatest baseball players of all time. Even now, when people make lists of, like, the all-time greatest players for each position, Honus Wagner is invariably the shortstop. They don't go with Jeter. They go with Honus Wagner.
Well, yeah, Jeter wasn't even the best shortstop of his time. I'm a Yankee fan saying that. Sorry.
Who's better?
Well, I mean, truly, A-Rod was better when he was in that position
okay.
at the same time, so... you know, the thing I know more of Honus Wagner is, didn't he have, like, the record for the best, for the most sought-after baseball card?
Yes. Yes, Honus Wagner.
That's really what I always know Honus Wagner for more.
Yes. Okay, let's talk about that then. Okay, his baseball card was called the T206. If you know baseball cards now, you know they all basically are the same size. The T200 cards were thinner.
Yeah.
And they were packed with tobacco. So that's what the T was.
Mm-hmm.
So they were often discolored because of the tobacco. And I read a whole book about Honus Wagner cards a couple of years ago. So
and I'm, also marketed towards kids, the tobacco cards, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, buy the tobacco, give it to your dad or your older brother, mm-hmm. or try it yourself if you're feeling cool.
Was it chewing tobacco or was the tobacco meant to be rolled?
I think it was rolling tobacco. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was chewing tobacco because that stuff is wet, right?
Yeah, but it could be in a pack. I don't know if it was packed up or whatever. I assume because I always think of baseball players like
chewing. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And Wagner famously didn't like his card because he didn't like that it was being sold to kids with tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think is one of the reasons why it's rare because there weren't as many of them because he wasn't on board with it. And it's also rare because he was a really great player at the time. So. These cards can go for, I think, upwards of like $1 million.
Yeah.
But there are like a finite number of them out there. And you could get a card for, I think, like a couple $100s. The thing is, though, it'll have a somewhat decent front, maybe some foxing on it, but the back is all destroyed. The back looks like garbage. And then you could buy another card that the back looks good, but the front is all garbage.
Yeah.
And then you can glue them together. And this is... This is what the book is about, because there's...
Does it lose value from gluing together?
It's not that it loses value, it's that you have now made a card that's not... If you took two $500 cards and glued them together, you don't have a $1,000 card, you have like a $1 million card.
Mm-hmm.
so long as you don't say, I've just glued two cards together.
Okay, so it's bogus.
So it's bogus, yeah.
Bogus swagger.
But you need to not just make up your fake card, you need to come up with a whole train of like audit claims to explain where you got this card, where the person who got the card from got it from, and all the way back. And you also need to explain why you bought two fake Honus Wagner cards, one of the busted front, one of the busted back, and a bottle of Emirates glue. So you need to cover your tracks. So the book was about...
Wouldn't the card be thicker than a normal card?
You can shave it off. Oh. There's all sorts of tricks you do. But there
it's a good business for us to get into, Jeff.
There are also tricks where you can improve your card by regular means, just by flattening it to get rid of a crease or an edge, or by a slight paint job. And some of this is okay. It's kind of like the Lance Armstrong doping stuff, where the stuff that you find out is legal is like, wait, they can take these 19 supplements, but you can't take these two supplements on the no-fly list? What? It doesn't seem like the two that you can take are that much worse than the 19.
Yeah, what's the difference, really?
Yeah, it seems very arbitrary. So,
were you a baseball card collecting kid?
I tried, but I never got into it. What I liked for a year or two were football stickers.
Oh, remember the sticker books? Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because there's a finite number of baseball cards, but you could tell because there were all the positions for each team, and as you put a sticker on, it was like, okay, I have Jerry Rice. So now I'm that much closer to being done with the
San Francisco 49ers. You know what you were missing, yeah.
Yeah. Now, thinking about it now, they probably had chase cards.
Yeah.
Like, they probably gave everyone Jerry Rice because, you know, what kid doesn't want to have Jerry Rice? But some, like fourth-string wide receiver who just somehow made the cut and is on there, there's not that many of him.
Now, is there a Honus Wagner equivalent, like a rare, hard-to-find, million-dollar garbage pail kid?
It may be the original Adam Bomb, because he was on the cover, so I think he was the most
His head blowing up.
Yeah.
You once told me that you had a theory about that you know you're in a good video store if they have a poster of the Garbage Pail Kids movie.
That would be proof, but I told you that so long ago there were no longer video stores at all, or even DVD stores. However... if you can find me a Redbox that is renting the Garbage Pail Kids DVD, I will be shocked. I will be amazed. I will stand in bewildered awe.
Let's say there's one. There's one Redbox selling Garbage Pail Kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but it's, I don't know, like in Phoenix. Would you make the drive?
Ooh. I might fly there. It would cost more, but it would be quicker.
Mm-hmm. And what would you just go look at it in the red box? Would you?
Well, I'd take it out, and then I'd have to rent a hotel room and find out if they had a DVD player, and some of them do. And I'd watch the movie, and then I'd return it because then it would be only $1.25 because I don't want to get that extra day's charge.
Yeah.
And then I'd fly back home. The flight itself would cost about $600.
Yeah.
But I would save $1.25 in rentals. This whole thing may also be up on YouTube, so I should check before I buy my plane ticket.
But you would, the fact that it's in the red box is what makes it amazing.
Yeah, the fact that someone decided we only have 45 movies to choose from, and one of them is going to be Mackenzie Astin's film debut and final film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I the one thing I remember about Garbage Pail Kids movie when it came out, that it was banned in some places.
I don't think it was banned. I think it just disappeared.
No, I'm sorry. I know what I'm thinking of. The Garbage Pail Kids cartoon.
Oh, there was a cartoon?
There was a cartoon that was supposed to come out, and they wound up pulling it at the last minute because it was too grotesque for children.
Do you know who invented the Garbage Pail Kids?
I don't know.
Pulitzer Prize winner Art Spiegelman.
Really?
Yes. One of his jobs in the 70s was making fake logos for stuff. And I remember seeing stickers with all these fake logos that looked real, but were making fun of consumerism. And then he moved on to making fun of children's toys by making all these disgusting pictures. And at the same time, he was using the money he got from Garbage Pail Kids to fund the making of Mouse, his Pulitzer Prize winning book about his father and the Holocaust in World War II.
Which was also meant to gross out children as a sticker. But
so, back to Honus Wagner.
Aw, okay.
1917 was the year he retired. He was 43 when he retired. Now, that's old for a ball player now. It was old back then, too. For the last 5 years he played, if I have this stat right, he was the oldest player in the league. And every year he said he was going to retire, and then they'd bring him back to the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he'd take batting practice, and he'd play for like 2 months, and then he'd get injured or hurt himself, or you know, he wasn't doing well enough. He crossed under the Mendoza line, even though I don't think the Mendoza and the Mendoza line
Mendoza wasn't born yet. Yeah. I think.
But this was his last abbreviated season. But he was not done with the Pirates. He became like a hitting coach or a third baseman coach. He did a bunch of different things for the institution. And he didn't retire until... I wrote it down here somewhere. I did not write it down here somewhere. Oh, yeah. No. Yes. No. Maybe. I'm going to say 1955. I'm going to say he kept on helping until 1955. I made up that number, but it seems about right.
He was 43 when he retired
mm-hmm.
in 1917.
Yeah.
And what did you say, 1955?
Yeah.
Was when he...
yeah, he was like up into his 80s. He was like the Don Zimmer of the Pirates. Like,
who was in his 80s?
Yeah, who is this old man with this gigantic head who is telling everyone what to do, and why does everyone love him?
Mm-hmm.
Honus Wagner played in the dead ball era. I've seen this expression a lot, but I never looked it up. Normally I do look things up, but I didn't look up dead ball era until today. And now I know what dead ball era is. Do you know what dead ball era means?
The ball era was the balls didn't have the same type of... I don't know what the word aerodynamics.
You don't know what the dead ball era is.
No.
That's what I assumed it was.
I always heard that when there was some of the equipment being different then. Wasn't that what you're referring to?
The dead ball era is this period. If you look at a chart of like all the home runs and hits, there's this dip for about 20 years. And he was playing right in the prime of that dip where guys just weren't hitting home runs or singles as much as they were before. And there's lots of reasons behind it, but no one has one definitive one. But it wasn't like the balls were dead or they were not as hollow as they used to be.
I've always heard that the reason we have bigger hitting now is of, you know, obviously the guys train better and all those things, but the equipment also is an aid.
That could be.
Yeah.
That could be. So maybe you were right after all. Maybe I was wrong in saying you were. Honus Wagner won 8 batting titles. That ties him in first with Tony Gwynn of the San Diego Padres.
Mm-hmm.
Second week in a row, we have somehow talked about Tony
Gwynn. I love Tony Gwynn, so I'm happy. I think we should make him, like, you know, every week.
The one time I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame was the week after Tony Gwynn was inducted. Mm-hmm. So, every single person there decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear my Tony Gwynn Padres jersey.
Yeah, with good reason.
Yeah.
Not a Padres fan, but I like Tony Gwynn.
Who doesn't like Tony Gwynn?
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I never really liked him.
Yeah. So he was Wagner was nicknamed the Flying Dutchman, but like all guys nicknamed Dutch, he's not actually Dutch. he's actually German. But the German word for German is Deutsch, and Deutsch sounds like Dutch.
Are there still people with those nicknames like Dutch?
You know what? I'm going to start calling you Malaysian Joe.
No,
just like how Dutch means German, maybe the word for Malaysian in Malaysian sounds like Italian.
There were certain nicknames that were just around then. All right, Dutch, Lefty.
Lefty, yeah.
Red.
Uh-huh.
Ace. Ace, my grandfather, yeah. Yes. People don't have those nicknames anymore. We did away with them.
No. We should bring them back.
Mm-hmm. Next time you see somebody with left hand,
call them left hand.
You'll be lefty.
Everyone's going to be Malaysian Joe until someone doesn't complain. and then they're locked on as Malaysian Joe for life.
There's an actual Malaysian guy named Joe who completely embraces it.
Yeah, but then that's not even appropriate. Because why would you call a Malaysian guy named Joe Malaysian Joe?
Well, sure, it would be more like an ironic nickname, like Tiny for a fat guy.
Yeah.
That was another one of my grandfather's stories. about there was a guy he worked with on the loading dock named Pee Wee, who was a big fat guy who refused to bathe.
Refused to bathe.
So one day all the
did they call him like squeaky clean also?
One time everybody jumped Pee Wee at work. And, like, they had, like, a big, like wash tub. Like, kind of like they give elephants the bathing. And forced it, like, stripped him down. This is, like on the job. they had, like, a giant wash basin. They threw Pee-wee in there, and they scrubbed him down until, as my grandfather put it, until he turned pink.
I am imagining this being filmed, and I'm imagining, like the director saying, okay, we really, really need a lot of music in this scene. We need a really light touch because this is horrific. And we need to let the audience know it's okay to laugh at this because they are going to turn against all of the characters who are doing this.
Yeah, that's how they handled this.
I'm imagining them using, like, wire push brooms and standing 6 feet away.
See, I'm picturing, like the big brush on, like, on a stick.
And in the movie, he would, like, complain a huge amount, but make no effort to get out. Because it's probably really easy for him to get out.
Well, that would be one thing, yeah. Like, I guess he could have just walked away while getting his forced bath. Yeah. The part my grandfather never shared with me, I always wondered, like, was he thankful for this bath? Did he say, like, oh, that's a lot better now, you're right.
Or was it like, I got this coming. I pushed my luck too far. And the gods of bathing have
I imagine smited. There would be a lawsuit these days, right?
Yeah. I don't... Well, think about it. You are stripping someone's clothes off.
Yeah.
You are throwing them in water, which is dangerous. Then you were then, like, scrubbing them. If there was soap involved, that could be even worse because they could have an allergic reaction to the soap.
And this is all, like, on the job.
So you're basically, like, outside, semi in public. Yeah. I'm imagining this is a loading dock.
It was right in the loading dock.
Okay, yeah.
They did all this.
The loading dock was implied. If anyone's ever thrown into a tub and forcefully washed, it's going to be on a loading dock. Speaking of butts, Honus Wagner,
had a fantastic ass.
His real name was Johannes, which got turned into Hans, which got turned into Honus by his German/Dutch relatives. He had an older brother who was the first person who was a ball player in his family. His older brother was named Albert, but his nickname was Butts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, even in 100 years ago,
they knew
what a butt was.
Yeah.
You can't call your son Butts. Anyways, Butts got into the... baseball. Not the major leagues, I don't think, but he could play ball, and he pulled Honus in, and then Honus really, really cleaned up in the AAA league, or the equivalent back then. Then he got drafted into the Pirates. He never left Pittsburgh. He stayed there his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So he was a Pittsburgh guy. There is a statue of him in front of PNC Park, as it should be, because he's still now the most famous Pittsburgh Pirate. You could say Clemente is famous also.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but he didn't have that kind of career. Yeah,
no,
it's not really Stargell.
He had 3,430 hits in his career. That is a National League record. It was stood for decades and was broken by Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those 3,430 hits were later called back. And I don't understand how that's possible. How someone like looked at a particular ball field and read the Agate score and said, you know, I think this was really a triple, and they did it like 18 times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the information exists.
We'll have to see that from Mark Simon. That's a question from Mark Simon.
Yes, yeah, we're going to be talking to a baseball and sports expert in a couple of weeks.
Historian? Does he qualify as a historian?
I think so.
Yeah, he's one of the ESPN researchers.
The thing about being an expert is that you shouldn't call yourself an expert, but other people can call you an expert.
Yeah.
And Mark Simon is by far one of the world's greatest experts in baseball trivia. Mm-hmm. So we're going to ask him all about 1917 in sports, specifically in baseball.
Yes, you and I, should we see where we're going?
He works for ESPN.
And we'll be going up there.
Yes. So we're going to plan a special two-part episode, where the first part is us recording our road trip where we'll be talking about the roads of 1917, the mm-hmm. vehicles of 1917. That's
right. A car accident that we'll be having while recording and driving at the same time.
Yeah, I think you should be driving, and I should be manning the equipment.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'm going to be able to record the equipment. I do such a piss-poor job as is that me driving while talking and looking at the levels is a recipe for disaster. It's a recipe for Roberto Clemente in that we will die in a moving vehicle.
And then part two, we'll do this from ESPN.
From ESPN,
that's
yes.
right. In their studio, in the SportsCenter studio, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not using it. We'll get full video graphics packages for our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's fine. We'll get Keith Olbermann to come back, Stuart Scott to come back.
He's dead.
Keith Olbermann's not dead. Moving on to birthdays. Having a birthday this week, 100 years ago today, is Henry Ford II.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what his nickname was? This is the scion of the Ford fortune.
Edsel.
No, Edsel was his dad.
Oh, Edsel was dad,
so
okay.
Henry Ford started Ford Motors. His son, Edsel, ran the business, and Edsel wanted to, fancy up cars. He was tired of making the Model Ts.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to do lots of other stuff, but people kept on buying the Model Ts. So it was kind of tough for him because his whole thing was just keep on making the same thing my father made instead of trying to branch out. So Edsel's son was named Henry Ford II. That, to me, doesn't make sense. I know there's different rules between a second and a junior.
I think a junior is the direct, like if you had a son.
Mm-hmm.
He could be Jeff Ryan Jr.
Yeah.
But you have to actually be the son of the first Jeff Ryan.
But I assumed that Jeff Ryan Jr. and Jeff Ryan II would be the same, if they're synonymous.
No, because your grandson could be named Jeff Ryan, but he'd be Jeff Ryan II.
Oh, okay.
He wouldn't be a junior because he's not your son.
I see.
But he'd still be the second Jeff Ryan.
He's the second, but he's not the second, in a row.
Yeah.
There's someone in between.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like with Grover Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly.
Non-consecutive naming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a guy in Congress who's Joseph Kennedy III, and I couldn't figure that out because I know enough about the Kennedy history to know that Joseph Kennedy II died in World War II, and his father was like the patriarch of the Kennedys.
Mm-hmm.
So if the father, Joseph Kennedy II, died in World War II, how is the third a 35-year-old now?
It's a naming thing.
It's not a naming thing.
Yeah.
Yes, Robert Kennedy had a son who he named Joseph II,
mm-hmm.
so that his son became Joseph III. So that at least makes sense. From second to third makes sense. I just never understood from first to second that it can skip a generation. But you've set me straight. Now I understand. All of this is to say that Henry Ford II was nicknamed Hank the Deuce. And back then, I don't think douche meant what it means now. He was quite popular, and he did a huge amount for Ford. He brought Ford public. He built their big headquarters. When you think of Ford, you probably think of the big Ford headquarters in Detroit.
Yeah.
That was a building that he built. He took over young. He was fighting in World War II when Edsel died in 1943. Hank the Deuce took over in 1945 or so because his grandfather was running it, but the grandfather had gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
He was very anti-Semitic, but he was also, he had a huge hatred of cows. People always talk about how Henry Ford hated cows, or hated Jews.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, but no one talks about how he hated cows.
Mm-hmm.
He spent millions of dollars trying to hire chemists to come up with a synthetic milk. Because he figured, well, if I get synthetic milk, and then the country and the world can start drinking that, then I can kill all the cows.
Does it say something about us as people that we definitely question the hatred of cows more than the anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
That we can see.
Yeah.
But
but how do you hate a cow?
Yeah.
What did the cow ever do? So, Hank the Deuce was Mr. Ford. He ran it from 1945 until 1979. So, that's 30 plus years, 30, 40 years. He was one of the people who hired Lee Iacocca. Mm-hmm. He took Ford public, as I said. He created the Edsel, which he then named after his dad. But the Edsel was a famous dud. I don't know enough about car history to know if it was actually a dud or if it was just, like, misidentified or missold.
It was actually a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Ahead of its time.
Yeah, if it was just like
the Homer.
We made a mid-sized sedan, and that's all the Edsel was.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's one of those things that where it really was bad, but it didn't look bad. Like, I've heard car guys talk about how terrible the PT Cruiser is, and how it had nothing to do with the body, which looks like, you know, no other car that had been made since, like, the Packard in the 40s. But because it was such a terrible design inside, they needed to do something to sell it, so they gave it a design that looked like something from Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a cool design. I didn't realize that it was, like, the worst American car made in the last 30 years inside. I just thought, well, that looks cool. Mm-hmm. But that was a whole marketing scheme behind it.
Do they still make the PT Cruiser?
The only person who was driving it as of last year was my father, and we had that car today. Because it was wildly unsafe. If you enjoy braking, if you enjoy accelerating, then the PT Cruiser, as of now, is not for you. On to Nickelodeon. Because we talked about Honus Wagner so much, we should mention a Honus Wagner movie. There was a recent, 15 years ago, movie called The Winning Season, which was based on a young adult book. Matthew Modine stars as Honus Wagner. And I've seen this movie. He does a good job. But the movie itself is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 10-year-old kid who somehow finds a Honus Wagner baseball card. And he picks it up. And, like, all of a sudden, he gets, like, transported back 100 years in time. And he's watching an old ball game.
No wonder these cards are so valuable.
Yeah. And there's Ty Cobb, and there's Honus Wagner. Now, the thing is, it's not just that he goes back in time and has an adventure. He's transformed into a 25-year-old. So it's not even the same actor. It's like we got a whole different actor.
Yeah.
And that was the part I didn't like. I was fine with the time travel. I was fine with the mild misadventures.
You thought he should be a kid, like Little Big League or something.
Yeah, because it's two adventures mixed together. One of them is, like, big. I touch this and I become an adult. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, like, go back in time and I meet a gray old ball player.
Yeah.
You don't need two of those.
He doesn't need to be an adult.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah, pick one. Matthew Modine, by the way, works a whole lot. I didn't remember the name of this movie. And The Winning Season is a terrible name for a movie about Honus Wagner.
And time travel.
And time travel, yeah. Yeah, so I looked at Matthew Modine's IMDb page. And I remembered him from, like, Memphis Belle, and I think he was on a West Wing episode. And he's in Stranger Things now.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in, like, 20 things a year for, like, 10 years. I haven't seen a lot of these things, and I haven't heard of them, but he's been working nonstop.
So. I think the challenge should be, can you watch every Matthew Modine movie by the end of the calendar year?
That's a lot of Matthew Modine. I'm not... I mean, I don't dislike the man, but I'm not enough of a Matthew Modine fan to go that far.
I think, you know, we talked about ending this podcast at the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and then coming up with a new concept or something like that. Maybe that would be the concept. We just review a Matthew Modine movie every week.
What would be the name of an all Matthew Modine podcast?
Momo Modine.
Momo Modine.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Or Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
On to our quiz. 100 years ago today, or 100 years ago this year, Forbes magazine came out. Officially the first episode. Officially the first issue of Forbes came out in April. But we're getting to this a little bit late just because we had so much going on for the whole rest of the year. I've got a quiz for you, Vinny, about the history of Forbes magazine and the Forbes family.
Okay.
Malcolm. Good guess.
Okay.
Financial columnist Bertie Charles Forbes, called BC by his friends, started Forbes magazine in 1917. Which newspaper baron did he write financial columns for? Your choices are basically Hearst or Pulitzer.
Yeah, Hearst or Pulitzer. Yeah. So I'm going to guess you want me to say Hearst, so I'm going to say Pulitzer.
It was Hearst. I wanted you to say Hearst because I'm playing straight with you.
Okay.
And this is something it took me a while to understand reading all of the stuff about the Forbes family. Because he was a financial analyst, he was wealthy. Mm-hmm. He made a whole lot of money, and then he started to write about it, and then he made a whole magazine about how you too could become wealthy. That, I feel like, doesn't happen nowadays. Nowadays...
Are you neglecting to mention Trump University?
No, I'm thinking about the, like, 800 talking heads who are on CNBC, and all of them are talking about ways to invest money, but are any of those guys, like, rich?
Like, actually, like, wealthy people?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't think they are. I think they're what the balloon payment was invented for.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about the balloon payment last time I bought a car. Have you heard of the balloon payment?
Yes.
I didn't know this thing existed. For the audience at home, let's say you want to lease a BMW, and it's $600 a month, and you don't have $600 a month. Most people would be like, well, you don't get a BMW. You get a Toyota. Too bad. Drive a regular car because you're a regular salary. But the balloon payment says, okay, now, you'll pay $200 a month for, like, 3 years. And at the end of the 3 years, you have the balloon payment of, like, $45,000.
Yes.
And if you make your balloon payment, great. You then move on to your next lease. If you don't make your balloon payment, we repossess your BMW. But for those 3 years, you get to drive around and be a big man and look like you're driving a Beamer. And I feel like that's every single person on CNBC. The whole thing is to look rich.
To look rich, yeah.
Yeah, not to actually be rich. If you actually are rich, you dress like the way Mark Zuckerberg if you really are rich, you would dress the way Mark Zuckerberg or... Oh, shoot, I thought the second time around I'd be able to kickstart it. Who's the rap mogul guy?
The rap mogul?
Yeah.
Jay-Z?
No, from the 80s.
Oh, Russell Simmons.
Yes. If you really were wealthy, you would dress the way that Mark Zuckerberg or Russell Simmons dresses, which is just like a regular guy who's not trying
to... And a lot of cotton.
Yeah, a lot of cotton. You're dressing just to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. You don't care what you look like anymore, other than these clothes fit and I haven't spilled anything. So Forbes was very big in the speculative market. Everyone in America and everyone in the world was becoming an investor. And because almost every stock was going up, it was very easy to put your money in one stock and have more of it at the end of the year than at the beginning. What year did that investing streak come to an end?
1929,
very good.
Yes.
Black Thursday. So, BC Forbes can't stick around forever. Which son of BC took over the business when BC retired?
See, how old is Malcolm Forbes? Is it Malcolm?
It is Malcolm Forbes, yes. Yes.
Because I couldn't figure out there was a generation in the middle there.
Yeah. I knew almost nothing about Malcolm Forbes going into this.
Yeah.
But he inherited a huge amount of his father's wealth. And he spent very lavishly. He had a huge, opulent lifestyle. And I guess because he was also running this business, he was making more money, too. It would be interesting if you're that rich. It must just be a game. If you have, like, this huge, huge pile of cash.
To try to get more at that point, yeah.
Well, like the Scrooge McDuck money vault. And you can see the level going down when you spend it. And then when you have a great accomplishment happen, it fills up again. But it has no connection to, like, your actual, like, needs or worth. Mm-hmm. Because you're never going to run out of money.
It's just a number on a piece of paper.
Right. Right. Like I can't imagine a world where I would go into a restaurant and not look to see how much a soda is before I decide to order a soda. Because if I see that it's, like, $3.50, it's like, oh, well, no, I'm not going to get that. Even though I clearly have $3.
Yeah, you can afford it. It feels wrong.
Right. Right. And the back of my head is like, I could buy a 12-pack of soda, and that's like 50 cents a soda. So I need at least one refill. Maybe I need two refills. I'm not even that thirsty, so I can't have it. But maybe I can give some to Cindy, or maybe she could get it. And there's all these calculuses going on in my head as to whether I'm going to get a soda based on the fact that it's $3.50 versus $3. And if there's no price, I'm in big trouble, because then it could be four bills.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I need to take a lien out on the house. Anyways, Malcolm Forbes was very rich and very, very, I don't want to say elegant in his lifestyle, very outlandish in his lifestyle. What did Malcolm Forbes collect? I've got a list here. Did he collect yachts? Did he collect Fabergé eggs?
Young boys.
Did he collect airplanes? Did he collect art? Did he collect motorcycles? Or did he collect hot air balloons?
I think I remember the image of him on a motorcycle.
Yes. The answer, because this is a trick question, all of them.
Oh, okay.
He collected yachts and Fabergé eggs and airplanes and art and motorcycles and hot air balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, young boys sometimes. Forbes magazine is famous for its yearly ranking of which people?
The richest people, billionaires.
The billionaires, yes, billions with a B. Donald Trump failed to make it onto the Forbes list of billionaires one year. What did he blame it on?
The media or something, right? It's got to be the media's fault, right?
He blamed it on Malcolm Forbes being gay.
Oh. That makes you less wealthy when Malcolm Forbes is gay? Does that work?
He said that Forbes wanted to bring a man who was very younger than him to one of Donald Trump's parties, and Donald Trump said no, and then all of a sudden he wasn't on the billionaire list anymore. So because Malcolm Forbes was gay, that's why Donald Trump wasn't a billionaire. It had nothing to do with any sort of business deals.
No.
Malcolm Forbes, by the way, I didn't know that he was gay. I didn't know anything about him.
It wasn't that he was gay, but he did have an affinity for the young men, right?
Well, he was gay.
For twinks. He was into twinks.
But he was apparently of like the 1950s Angel in America era, where it was okay to be gay so long as no one said anything.
Okay.
You could do whatever you wanted, and if you had power, you could do it in public, but you just...
It wasn't acknowledged ever.
Right. The same way that no one talked about how FDR was in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. No one was supposed to talk about how Malcolm Forbes was gay.
Mm-hmm.
So Malcolm's son, Steve Forbes, takes over in, I think, the 1970s as the editor of Forbes, or whoever runs the Forbes empire, because it's much more than a magazine now. He ran for what office in 1996? Did he run for New York Senator?
For president.
Governor or president? Yes, yeah. He ran for president. And he ran for president again in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And he spent many millions of his own dollars both times. He was a big proponent of the flat tax, which is what it sounds like. Tax everyone the one
exact percentage, yeah.
Yes, but that is a horrendous idea because we have a tiered tax system where if you make $10,000, you get taxed at a low rate, and if you then make $100,000, the $10,000 you make of the $100,000 still gets taxed at a low rate, but as your wealth increases, like those bits get eaten out more than before.
Mm-hmm.
That was an incredibly elegant way of describing the tier tax.
I understood more before you started explaining it, actually.
And that is one of the reasons why the flat tax concept makes sense, because it's very easy to explain flat tax. But a tier tax system is much more fair and much more equitable, and it gives everyone more money, save for the few at the very top. Steve Forbes being one of the people at the very top, he would benefit the most from a flat tax. Forbes magazine, next question now. Forbes also runs it's a fun list of the richest fictional people. In a recent list, who was the richest? Was it Daddy Warbucks? Was it Scrooge McDuck? Or was it Smaug the Hobbit Dragon?
Really? Would it be C. Montgomery Burns?
He's been on the list, but he only has a few billion dollars. Tony Stark is higher than him.
Mm-hmm.
Even the vampires from Twilight got higher than him.
It's got to be Scrooge McDuck.
You would think.
I've never seen Smaug dive into his money.
They list Smaug. They say he is worth $62 billion. And that's $62 billion of gold.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the cost of it melted down. That doesn't include like the art value of some of these fine pieces of gold. For an article about education, Forbes' title was intentionally misspelled. How was it misspelled?
It's an F-O-U-R-B-S.
That's a good call. It's wrong, though.
Oh.
It was Forbles. They threw an L in there, mm-hmm. and they wrote it in like a in like crayon. Our last question. Steve Forbes' daughter, Moira, is the fourth generation to run a Forbes magazine. She made spinoffs for which market? Did she make a spinoff for women called Forbes Women? Did she make one for the global audience, like Forbes India or Forbes Africa? Or did she launch the Forbes Video Network?
Well, was it Forbes Kids?
There's no Forbes Kids yet.
Forbes Video.
It was actually all three. She's worked on, like, Forbes Around the World.
I hate when you do
Forbes
that.
Forbes Women. I like it because it's really easy to come up with the questions.
Yeah.
You see a list of stuff and pretend that it's A, B, or C, and then I say, I screwed you, it's D. All of them.
It's a little misleading, I don't know.
Yeah. I was never a fan of the, all of the above questions. Mm-hmm. Just because it seemed like they wanted to give people another option. And when they put in all of the above, there's always also an E question, which is none of the above, which mm-hmm. is like, oh, screw you. Come on. There's already one BS question, now throwing a second BS choice in there. That concludes this week of 100 Years Ago Today. Join us next week where we presumably will be recording in a car driving to ESPN.
Yes.
Until next time, ahoy hoy.
Ahoy hoy. It's Malaysia Joe signing off.